This week's episode and many more have been brought to you by the paid subscription and generous donation of The Other CJ. You too could be amazing by going to thedadpodcast.com, clicking on the links on the right-hand side. For $24 a year, you could change our lives.
Listen to me, listen to my words as they vanish. Let's go chase the sun and get crazy, have some fun. And if you're on the run, we're chasing the sun.
Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast, episode number 119 is where we are. We're live in the new studio, which should sound a little less echoey after the episode I did with my papa-san, as I call him. I've got some acoustic treatments on the wall. You probably already saw pictures on Facebook by the time you're hearing this. What do you think, Paco? This is your first time sitting in the new seat.
I love it.
Does that bother you that what I call a broadband absorber is jutting out at you from the wall?
I'm almost certain that I won't catch the edge of my head on that.
That sounds good.
And bleed out during the show.
All right, good. Well, that's good. Because I was very worried. I almost scooted it over a foot, and I still might move it. I don't know.
Oh, when you showed me where you were going to put it, I thought, oh, I'm going to hit that sometime.
Yeah. It was either that or there was going to be a half dome right behind you, and I thought that was definitely bad. So I did some shimmying and some shaking and some cocoa popping.
Thank you. Yes. A chair is going to hit it or whatever.
And what about the AC, right? How do you like that? It's nice and chill in here.
Just in time for December.
I know, right? Awesome. Nailed it. Hashtag nailed it. I purposely came out here and I made it the 65 degrees, aka the Ed Sullivan Theater. That's what David Letterman likes it.
Exactly.
He likes it at 65 degrees. Likes it tepid.
You're never gonna hear me complain about 65
really. Okay,
degrees.
Good. All right, because I came in here and I was like, ooh, it's a bit chilly. I might want to turn it down. And to be completely honest, I hit power, but this thing has not turned off. So I don't know what's happening. Something could already be wrong. In which case,
a good omen.
I will stop doing this show and just immediately kill myself. That's what will happen. That's exactly how that will go down. All right. Well, let's get into it. Yeah. Let's do some catching up, if you would. If you're listening to us live at mixlr.com/dadpodcast, you can give us a call live, 877-222-8323. If you're listening to us as a podcast, you can make note, usually on Tuesday nights is when we record.
Yeah.
Although we're looking forward to. Let's throw out that date. I believe it's the 23rd. I'm going to pull up my calendar while we're sitting here chatting. The 23rd, we're going to do a Sunday afternoon record. Is that the correct plan?
I think so.
We had planned on doing one the 16th, which is the Sunday that you should have been able to have downloaded this one. However, my wife has a plan of some, or she has a work thing she has to do this weekend. But I don't know if she's going to make it. She's had health issues.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's been awesome. It's been outstanding. So let's do some catching up. Who wants to go first? You want me to go first or you want to go first?
Well, I got a lot of stuff.
You got a lot of stuff?
I do.
You know what? I did an episode with my dad yesterday.
Oh, you're so
sweet. Let's let you. Let's,
what a gentleman.
Let's do Beauty Before Age. I think I messed that up.
You did. I can't wrap my head around it.
But
well,
only in
see.
One way,
yes.
In that you're older, but you are definitely more beautiful than I, you big bucket of handsome.
I won on both counts.
You look tired, Paco.
Oh.
Are we going to hear about it?
Yes, you are going to hear about it.
Is this one of those shows where you're going to get more punchy as the show goes on?
I don't think so. I was out of my mind last time because I was really in the thick of a whole bunch of stuff. All right, so... I mean, it's been several weeks since we were not counting last week. All right, it's already started. I've already lost my way. Can we do it? Just start over.
You want to start over? Yeah, you got it. Here we go. A little bit longer bit than what I anticipated.
No, no.
I gotta be honest.
I'm sorry. I was waiting for you to wrap that up.
No, I wasn't gonna wrap it up. I was gonna actually let it go all out, I realized the 30-second intro.
That's all right.
Well, hello, welcome to the Dad Pod. Fuck, now I screwed up. All right, here we go. It's time for real, everybody. All right, that was the intro. Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast, episode number 119. Lots of stuff going on. We're going to be recording on a Sunday. Things are going to be happening. Paco's here. He's on and popping. He's got fists pumping in the air. How are you, Paco?
I'm ready to go. I'm all up in focus now.
Gotta be honest, it sounded insincere. Let's do that one more time and let's really have fun with it.
I'm gonna pay more. I was just gonna sing into it. Okay, here we go. And actually, all I'm thinking about is that I didn't bring my drink in with me. So,
oh, shit.
And now I have
to go. Do you want to start talking? I'll go get you your Diet Coke.
If I start. Oh, that's a. I love that idea.
Really? You want me to leave and go get you a Diet Coke?
Well, you see.
Why do you love that idea?
Because I had pictured me leaving, and then when you suggested, I mean, it would never have occurred to
me. Well, you're the one that's going first.
No, I understand, but this is how my life is it would never occur to me that somebody else would get up and do something
for
me.
I'll go get you a Coke. Do you want me to hit pause, or you want to entertain the listeners?
No, I'll talk to them. All right. I don't know how entertaining it'll be, but I'll...
You talk to them, I'll go get you a Coke. No, you stay there. I can crawl underneath the desk.
Oh, my God.
We have limited space.
This is insane. Now he is crawling under a desk. He's doing the belly crawl across the rug, Call of Duty style, and now he's going to go get me a nice cold soda. And I'm not going to say anything wrong or inappropriate while he's out of the room. Mother effer. Anyway, yes, I'm tired. It has been mayhem of one kind or another over at my house, but a whole new brand of mayhem, I must tell you. And some of this stuff, he already knows. I caught him up off air a little bit. But honestly, I don't spill my guts to him all the time. I try to save it for us, for all of us, so that it's most of what I say in this room is stuff he's never heard before. But every once in a while, as a neighbor, you've got to let something slip out. He's really taking his time. That'd be funny if he didn't come back. Oh, no. All right, everyone, calm down. Everyone, hold still. Here he is. He did come back. I was saying it would be funny if he actually just never returned. It just left. It is my drink. Yeah, I will take it.
I got you water, too, just to be safe.
Oh, you're very sweet. Asked for Diet Coke, brought back two waters. All right, so. All right.
Did you see what I think I just heard?
I think you did.
I asked for a Coke and you brought back two waters? You drank all the fucking Diet Cokes I bought for you, asshole. You're welcome, by the way.
Oh,
fuck
no,
stick.
Stop. Sorry. All right, so here's the thing. I didn't really get any content out, I'm sorry to say. I was just chatting with
them. Damn it. I'll go again.
No. It's fine. Because I kind of didn't want you, even though you know some of the stuff, I didn't want you to miss it completely. Look, the first thing, one of the huge, huge things is that Luna, about 6 weeks or so ago, was approached by her immediate supervisor in this largish media company that she works in. I think we've mentioned it before, Warner Brothers.
We have not.
Oh, shit. In any case, we'll go back and beep that out. So,
oh, really? Do I need to make
it? No, I don't think so. Okay. No. She's free and clear at this point.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, fuck them.
She had been searching for a long time for she's been there nearly 20 years at that point. And was just looking for a position that would be a better fit for her after several years in a particular job. And she sat down with an HR person who basically said, yeah, you'd be better off looking elsewhere if you really want to find something that you like.
Heads up.
Heads up. And then that was like on a Friday. And then on the Monday, she went back in and saw that person. And basically what they said is, look, in a couple of months, massive layoffs are coming. And you can opt into those layoffs if you want to.
Ooh.
So she did. And as of last Friday, the lovely
Luna. Already happened.
It already happened. She got her walking papers, and she is now my co-homemaker.
Yes.
Yes.
How does that feel? Now you only have to make 1.5 dinners, right?
Something like that. No, it's the thing is we've been anticipating it for a while, but of course in perfect Lancini fashion, haven't discussed anything about how it was going to be or how it would work or what was going to happen when it actually came down. And part of it was we were afraid that at the 0 hour they would just pull their offer back and that she'd be stuck continuing to work in a place that she was unhappy.
You guys were thinking that on the last day, we'd be like, hey, listen, like, we're going to unlay you off.
Right.
And you're like, fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the only time those sentences have been put together.
I know. I was aware of how unusual it was to be crossing your fingers that you got the boot. So it is not without some sadness on her part. She was there by the end, for 20 years.
Uh-huh.
And she didn't achieve the kind of, you know, heights to which she had hoped she would, and she saw other lesser people achieve higher glory than she did. So
she's getting passed up on promotions.
That's what a layperson would say. Or okay. Since she was an executive secretary, she had hit a ceiling above which she could not she couldn't seem to get in to assist anyone of a higher echelon.
I see.
Listen, this is, should be no reflection on her skills in that department. She is fantastic. I would I'd hire her in a minute. She says she thinks they think she's loud.
Don't oversell it.
No, it's all right. She says they
hire her in a minute.
Well, I realize, what am I going to hire her to do? And how are people really going to believe anything that comes out of my mouth with regards to this? Anyway, so there was a fair amount of anxiety on my part. Like, what is this going to be like?
Yeah.
And it really is still a little early to tell, being that yesterday was the first day and today was a holiday, so the kids were around. So who knows? But I will say this. Yesterday was fantastic. We had a terrific time and just got stuff done and hung out together, and we're getting along great. And, you know, it is not necessarily a well-known fact that if we get like a 3-day weekend or even like a 4-day weekend under normal circumstances, by, you know, around hour 80, we're ready to break out the glass and the sharp objects and blunt objects and go after one another. So sometimes that togetherness doesn't really pay off at Casa Lancini, but in any case, so far it is. It does help that I traveled out of town over the weekend, so we weren't right on top of each other. And I got to tell you something else.
Oh.
You know how you were saying before when I left town, it was they were going to have to come over and you were going to have to feed them, and there was all this craziness because they're completely incapable of helping themselves. She was amazing while I was gone. She did grocery shopping. She did cooking. She helped with homework. She, you know.
Look how fancy she is.
Absolutely. She was all over it. So that was very, very exciting. And it bodes well for the future of our marriage. And we'll see how things shake out.
One of the listeners in the chat room mentioned that it's time for daily afternoon delights for Mr. Paco. How say you to that?
Well, this is what I will say to that curious listener. Luna was very clear with me about where the lines are to be drawn with regards to that.
Are you serious?
Subject. I am serious.
Are you serious?
I'm absolutely serious.
I love everything about your guys' relationship.
So
there was like, okay, listen. I am going to be voluntarily laid off. Okay. And I know that there's going to be some concerns about the finances.
Yes.
And I'm sure that we have concerns about us, you know, making a transition into sharing the house more frequently.
It's like you were there.
Which brings me to my first item on the agenda. I've written it up. There's a type copy for you and for me, so you have it. Yes, there is a spot at the bottom where I need you to sign, mainly due to Article A, as we'll call it. There will be no more than once a week that you will take advantage of my vagina frequenting this house. And if your birthday or our anniversary should fall within that week, and we have already experienced coitus earlier in that week, you may take a second voucher.
Run at it.
Yeah. I have printed vouchers for you that you can turn in. But no more than one voucher may be used in less than a 7-day period. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
And your voucher cannot exceed its original value. I don't know what that
and
means.
Those vouchers are like cash, so don't lose them.
Don't lose them, because once we will not be reprinting them. And they're watermarked, so don't fuck with me. Don't think I don't know that you know how to use a little Photoshop.
Well, that's not quite what I meant. What I meant is that I'm not at liberty to share any details.
Oh, okay.
That's all I meant.
Oh, she said that when it ever occurs, it is not grounds for podcast material.
Exactly.
Fuck you, Luna. We need content. How dare you? I talk about my sex life on this show.
Right.
All right. I'll tell you what, Luna. You can tell us what really happens, or we'll make a new segment where me and the listeners guess what happened in the Lancini bedroom.
That sounds like it might be.
This week on the Lancini bedroom, there was a sweet and sultry mixture of food items and vibrating sundry power tootles brought in. That's just my assumption. Write them in. at LanciniBedroom at thedadpodcast.com. That's our new email, guys, we have just for this segment. All right, thanks. No, just kidding. I'm sorry.
So one would hope that, yes, there would be more, there would be more opportunity and so less furtive.
What does the word furtive mean?
Furtive means...
You need to fuck a dictionary just to sit here and do this show with you sometimes. Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry.
Can't you just talk to me a redneck who talks to...
Is this why Sam's dad doesn't like me?
No, I don't think so. Sam's dad doesn't like you? I thought he just didn't like us.
Oh, no. If I remember correctly, call Sam. My
I like that you just
was,
assume he's listening.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he can call next week if he can call during the live show. Wasn't he the one who had the dad? He's like 17 and the dad turned him onto the show. I think
no, the dad didn't turn him onto the show, did he?
Oh, maybe not, but the dad knew he listened to the
Yeah, he listened to my show, the video game show from before, and then now he listened to this one.
Well,
yeah.
I don't know. There was something with one of those guys from out that way.
Okay.
Who said his dad was not
a fan of you.
A fan of Paco.
In oh, really?
I think
oh,
so.
All right.
At least that's...
I find that hard to believe. Everybody seems to be so happy about
that's what I...
Paco.
Well, you know, they're a vocal minority, is what I think.
Of course,
they are.
Yeah. I mean, it's... Painfully obvious. All right, so you have limited time with your lady, and you're not allowed to discuss it on the show.
No, I now have unlimited time with my lady.
Well, that's what I'm saying, limited sexual time.
Okay.
There was not a cap. You don't have a sexual salary cap. You just have a governor on your vocal cords.
I have a gag order.
You have a gag order. You have a non-disclosure agreement.
Non-disclosure agreement.
I like it.
Yes, the NDA. I did sign the NDA. Furtive, by the way, is done by stealth.
Oh.
So when your parents and you have children who are...
Older.
Oh, whatever, just
I can,
awake
I could literally have sex in front of both those kids and they don't know what's going on. Mommy and daddy are wrestling.
Right.
Daddy's a quick wrestler.
Daddy's winning. so anyway, that's new and exciting over there. Very... Lots of possibilities.
Nice.
So we don't know exactly, but I'll certainly keep you informed of as many
so
of
this
the details.
Technically, was kind of the first day. Yesterday was the first day,
and it was great. Read into that what you will.
He totally did it, guys.
That is not. I said nothing like that.
Yeah, he has to
I
say
said
that.
Nothing,
but he
like
totally
that.
Did that. So just so you know, whenever he says it's great. Hey, Paco, guess what? I know you're not
fair.
Normally allowed in this bathroom, but why don't you get in this ginormously jacuzzi-sized tub and let's bathe each other furtively.
Oh. I did hit the stupid thing on the wall.
It'll be shorter. I got to suck it up to the wall soon. I'm sorry.
Threw my head back to laugh, and I concussed myself.
I might have to move it. I think I'm going to change my mind and scoot it over so it's not there.
I think it might be. It might work.
Yeah.
Well, for you to do that.
Yeah.
I'll try not to hit it again.
No, it's okay. No, hit it all you want. I haven't covered it
as many times as I
want. It's kind of a prototype, really. You can fuck it up all you want. I'm not.
So that's one thing that's going on. And then another thing that is that there was a little bit of a, not little bit, but there was a death in the family, a back east portion of the family, the non-Juan Bedoya side.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't Luna's relatives then?
No. It was my maternal uncle.
I see.
Anyway, so I happened to travel back east over the course of the weekend and had quite a time. Traveling is always, I'm sure you travel so much, I can't believe how much the flying and the this and that you do. I don't do near as much as you do. But I had a thing happen. I wonder if anything like this has ever happened to you. First of all, I saw the dog.
Are we going to get like 1992 stand-up comedian?
I don't think so.
Airfare stuff?
Because it was the two service dogs for one person.
Oh.
I figured that the first dog, because she was a nervous flyer, and then the second dog, because the first dog was a nervous flyer.
It was a service dog for the service
for
dog?
The service dog, yes. And she had a traveling companion, a man who was with her. And I'm like, can't he keep you calm? Doesn't he have the tools to make you feel better?
No,
but
he's not furtive enough to be able to handle her in that way in a plane.
Yes.
See what I did there?
Yeah, I did. You used it correctly. Very, very good. In any case, it was a red eye, and I did not want to sleep. I don't know how well I don't know if it's come up on the show before, even with the two of us. It must have, because you've seen my boudoir.
Yeah. How?
I have sleep apnea, and I wear a mask, but I don't have a battery-powered one. Those are too expensive for me.
Yeah.
you folks need to sign up a little bit more. You need to subscribe so I can.
We need more than 70 paid subscribers.
So I didn't have it with me, and I was really, for some reason, I don't know why, I was super anxious about how my snoring, and that's just a kind word for it. It's just a horrible series of noises. Sometime what I'll do is I'll go to sleep without it on. I'll have Luna record.
No, it's not a good time. It's not so a good time when she's now home all the time. Let's give her a few months. Let's not rip that Band-Aid off completely. You know what I mean? She's
okay, but
let her dip her toe in the tub.
But I mean, from how she reports it and how I can hear myself. I wake myself up. I'm so loud. I was just picturing, you know, 150 people stuck in a steel tube with that.
Yeah,
and feeling very anxious. And I sort of went, well, obviously I'm not going to be able to sleep.
Right.
So I kept myself awake for most of it, and I did doze off here and there. And at some point in this half phase, half days I had, there was a loud thump to my right and behind me, and then some sort of, you know, the whole place is dark and people are basically sleeping, and then there was some sort of high-pitched, the sound of women making dismayed noises and calls for help. And somebody had just collapsed in the aisle.
Oh, wow.
On the plane. And then, you know, somebody dashes away when the flight attendants aren't coming quickly enough. And people are crowding around whoever this was. And somebody came back later. And I heard, you know, the flight attendant come back and say, "Are you okay?" And I never heard a response. But all the excitement died down very quickly. So either the answer was, "Yes, I am okay." Or there was no answer at all. And they just put him back in his seat.
"Susan, he's dead. Just gently lift him up and keep talking to him. We're going to have to weaken and Bernie's this guy."
Well, yeah. So I was almost, that was almost very exciting and helped keep me up for a little bit longer, the mystery of it all. And then as I was leaving that plane, I was the last one, or I was late getting off that plane, very, very nearly the last one. And as I came forward past the bye-bye crew up near the front, the head flight attendant, the matron.
That's the one they call the stewardess.
Oh, is that? Yeah. They really do?
No.
Oh,
no. I don't know.
See, I believe you.
That's still the offensive term.
Oh, okay. She was saying to someone who I couldn't see up the gangway or whatever they call that. No, I think they call that the stewardess. No, I don't know. In any case, she was saying, "No, the whole thing. You need the whole suit." And as I passed her, she said, "The whole hazmat suit."
Oh.
And so I was like, "Now, wait a minute.
Ebola.
Was that
right?" Dr. J is right.
I'm like, "Is that because the dogs dropped a deuce? Is that because there's a dead guy that was two rows behind me and I never saw him when I got up and got out? And they're just going to put him in one of those wheelie garbage cans and just take him away?"
Like,
he's on,
like the garbage man on the Sesame Street shows. Like it's a
yeah,
little,
yeah, yeah, exactly.
It's got a little dolly attached to it
right,
or something.
Right.
Or what is that? Is that the cartoon on the Carol Burnett show? Is that what I'm thinking of?
Also that, yes. Yeah. I have that image in my head too, but I can't figure out where it's from.
That's funny.
So I wanted to stop and ask, but I didn't because I'm afraid to stop and ask any questions in an airport. For fear of being accused of something inappropriate. I was, the last time I traveled, they were helping me at like we will help you here desk, whatever it was. And they were being super nice and
do you ever travel? You don't, it's
no, very
information.
Rarely.
My
no, not just
polysyllabic friend.
It's not just information. I had actually, gotten to the airport, but
the gate counter. Is that what you're thinking of?
No, it's like a gate counter, but
okay.
It's really,
now we're playing Password. I love it.
We'll just explain the situation.
Okay.
Is that the last time I traveled, which is Christmas-ish, 2014, and, you know, I missed the boarding at the gate by, like, a minute.
Uh-huh.
And I was not getting on the plane. That's it. And they said, "Go down and turn to the right, and there's a little station there, and they'll help you." So it's like a traveler's aid, but it's Delta, and they're like, you know. Anyway, they're like, "Oh, well, let's get you on the next one." And they were being very helpful and so on and so forth. And I'd been running back and forth with my luggage and everything else. I was drenched in sweat, and I just needed a minute in the bathroom. And I said, "The bathroom's right over there. It's like across the alley or whatever, the hallway." And I said, "Can I just leave my bag with you?" Well, I, and they're like, "No, you can't leave your bag here." And I'm like, "Well, no, I understand. I can't leave it unattended. You would be attending it." They're like, "No, we will not take your bag.
you're under the misinformed, I guess, theory
yeah.
that those people are there for customer service.
Right.
No. At an airport, as a person who travels regularly, what yes. their job is to do is make you feel like an idiot. Mm-hmm. And that you are in the way of whatever it is that they're really supposed to be doing.
Yes.
That is evidently a direct contradiction to their uniform.
See? I understand.
So when they bring you drinks, that's not what they're there for. They're not right. to bring you drinks and to make you feel comfortable on the flight.
Yes.
They're actually only there to keep you safe in the unlikely occurrence of a water landing or a sudden loss of cabin pressure.
Yes.
See, we pay these people full staff salary and pension for the 0.0001% chance. That's the only reason they're here.
Right.
And so it looks, I guess, more rude to just have them sitting there waiting right. for that 0.0001%.
Right.
So they're like, hey, why don't you throw them some pretzels or some peanuts and a soda?
Right. Oh, no peanuts on my return flight,
of course,
by the way.
No.
Because they said we were all waiting to board, there is somebody on this flight with a peanut allergy, and there will be no peanuts served.
I am going to start traveling. I know it's jacked up because I know there are people that have kids with peanut allergies and everything.
Yes.
But to me, the only thing that I think is weird about it is that we're not going to give them to you, but there's nothing that stops me from buying a bag of peanuts at the Hudson News in right. the terminal. So right. I could just walk in there. So I just want to shake a gigantic bag of peanuts in the air every right. time they say something like
I
that.
I just want to buy a bag of peanut dust.
And then,
yeah,
like ninja smoke it.
Yeah, right.
play Mr. Sandman.
Yeah, go up and down the aisle like Rip Taylor. I'm not sure you know who that is.
I know who it is. I don't all know right. the reference.
Well, he throws confetti.
Oh, like confetti. Him. Okay.
He has a the old kind of.
He's the guy in those Men in Black movies, right?
That's Rip Torn.
Okay, good. That was just for you.
Thank you. he was sort of the old one of the. There were a bunch of people who.
No, I know he's very flamboyant.
Very
he's
flamboyant,
got like a bowl cut that was always highlighted blonde, but dark brown
yes,
hair.
Yes, yes, yeah. yes, yes, exactly.
Oh, I also had a situation while traveling.
Yeah,
I was on a Southwest flight because Daddy rolls in high rolling money. Going out to Omaha, and there was a family who got hassled at security, and they couldn't all sit together. So it was a wife and a husband and two right. kids, and then I think one of their fathers was there. And not the kids, but like one of the adults' fathers, like grandpa
okay.
was with
yeah.
them. And so they're like, all that was left was middle seats. And they're like, oh, and the husband was kind of like angry. He's like, we paid for six seats. And you look at it and it's because the grandpa needs two seats.
Oh.
And so, but they had oversold the flight. So then grandpa took a middle seat. And then he got up and then the guy goes, there was a guy in the aisle in the very back row. And
yeah.
he goes, oh, well, I could just sit on the end. Because I think he's saying I can at least lift the armrest and then, you know, flow over into the aisle a little
right.
bit. And the guy was like, no, I'll stay on the end. Like he was, which I was like, wow, that's kind of ballsy to be like, no, fuck you. But I volunteered so that the kids could sit at least with one parent because it
right,
looked like everybody
right.
was going to have to be split up. And these kids were like 8 and 7 or something like that, 8 and 6.
Yeah.
So because it's so silly, because it's before noon, they can't give me any alcoholic beverage for free. So the guy just threw the portion of peanuts that they would have for the plane, like that bag. He like he was Peanut Santa Claus and just dropped his entire loot on my lap. He goes, here you go. And he threw it on my lap. And I was like, oh, that's funny. And then he came back and when he was asking everybody if they wanted peanuts.
Right.
And he goes, would you like some peanuts? I said, no, I'm doing great with these. He goes, they're good? I said, yeah. I go, I'm allergic, but they're delicious. And he looks at me, he goes, say it ain't so. Like, I appreciated, I don't know what decade that's from, but he's like, say it ain't
well,
so.
Like, it's from like the 30s.
20s or 30s,
20s
right?
Or 30s, yeah.
Say it ain't so, sailor. Like, and I said, no, I'm fine, of course. He's like, oh, you can't breathe and everything. And he was laughing about
right,
that.
Right, right.
But that was my only traveling experience. Do you want to, is there, I don't want to take you off track
no, it's
or
okay.
off subject
what?
Or,
what?
But I was saying, is there anything else like you, so you arrived there, you had the funeral or?
It was more of just sort of a service, like an informal, no.
There is
was,
it like, this is where I leave you, the movie? Was it just like that?
No,
did you have
it
to
was
sit
not.
With Jane Fonda and any other charming people?
No, not at all, but.
Did you find out that your mother was a lesbian?
Well. My mother is a lesbian.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yes.
Oh, you have told me that. That's funny. That's interesting.
Great. But she's not out, so that's on you.
Oh, awkward. Well, we also don't know your father's real name.
That's true. Well, no, she's, I don't know. I don't think she's actually anything anymore. It's been
she's
some not, time.
She just, no. I just fuck anything with a pulse, honey. That's what I do now.
She's asexual, or she's like some sort of worm that only does its own thing.
You think
thing.
She's closed for business? Is that what you're trying to say? Which would you rather talk about, teenage sex or your mother's sex? Which one would you rather cover?
Oh, my God. This is really uncomfortable. Can I hit my head on this piece of wood behind
me? Sure. Well, you can do it. Just don't break it. It's okay to bleed on it now. I haven't covered it with anything. Try not to breathe in that insulation either. Yeah, no, I'm totally kidding. It's totally fine. Yeah. It's totally fine. It's not fiberglass. Sure. You're fine.
No, there's nothing good in there. It was sort of... You know, it's one of those really quick visits back home, so everything is rushed and nothing is particularly enjoyable. I will say that as I was leaving, oh, well, you might like this. Okay. She's a vegetarian. There's not a problem with that.
Okay.
But the stuff in the house, she's very bean sprouts, and it's very – there's not a lot of this is going to be good. Yeah. This is – there's soy milk and there's, you know, it's all of that stuff, which is all fine. But – it's not what Daddy likes. And so as I was getting close to the house, I landed in JFK and I got a car and I just drove out. And as I got close, I knew I needed to use the restroom anyway. And I look over and there's a place right there, Euro Pizza.
Ooh.
And I go, they got
New
a
York
bathroom.
European pizza.
Yeah, whatever. So I jumped in there. And got a couple of slices to hold me over. This is now breakfast on Friday morning.
Yes.
At about 9 o'clock, and had some yummy pizza, used the restroom, and then went to her house the entire time knowing that as soon as I leave, I'm going back there.
Euro pizza on the way back to the airport.
On the way back now. Okay. So here's the thing. My return flight had been changed. Oh, I got a great price.
Uh-huh.
And so, it was changed to a later. I was originally going to leave at like 4:45, and that's the original itinerary that I sent back east so that everyone would know what the story was. And then I got a flight out that was 6:15.
It's like an hour later.
2 hours later. Well, an hour and a half.
Yeah.
But there's no reason for me to stay an extra hour and a half, is there? They already think I have to leave to get the 4 o'clock plane. I didn't want to confuse things. So I left... I left at the time that they all thought I should leave to catch the plane I wasn't getting on.
Yeah.
So I could buy myself a little pizza time and travel time, whatever. So I felt bad about it, but I went ahead and did it. But here's the thing. She was having a flat out panic about me getting there because the previous trip I had missed my flight. So she was getting super anxious as the time for me to leave approached, and I'm feeling relatively calm, but my calmness is only making her crazy. I'm calm because I know I'm not going to miss anything. And she's getting very, very agitated. Anyway, they get me up in the car. They get me in the car, and she's giving me very explicit directions of how to get to to get to the part where the local street goes, oh, they gave me the wrong local streets to get there, so she needs to give me the right local streets to get there. And I know I'm not going anywhere near. I'm going the opposite direction, the pizza place. So she's putting all this energy and time into these directions that are not going to mean anything whatsoever. And then I get in the car, and we realize I don't have the directions with me, so she runs back in the house. She's going to write it all up again. I'm like, no, it's in the car. I know how to do it. And I did know how to do it because she and I had driven that same route a couple times. So I said, I told her, and she said, yes, okay, you know. Get up in the car, and she's there, my brother, my sister, everyone's crowding around, and she lives on a very steep hill, and it's a narrow road that it's one way, one car width, and then at every house there's this little bump where you can pull off.
You know what I love?
What?
I love how you are the man who knows the largest words in the world. And then occasionally you will describe something with a bloop. Like it's some kind of fucking villain in a Pac-Man game or something. Yeah. That just like you just ate a cherry floating in a bloop.
excuse me.
Okay, I'm sorry. So you're at the Bloop?
I'm at the Bloop, which is about the size of a car and a half.
Okay.
Now, they manage to frequently get two cars in there because their driving cars are the size of a shoebox, but I'm in a rental, and so it was a little bit bigger. So my car is in front, and then her car is behind me, and they're sort of parked at an angle to one another, but basically she's behind me. And I get in, and I don't know, she's making me nuts, and they're just back there, and they're around. I get in the car. I turn it on, put my foot on the brake. I put it in, you know, I put it in gear, and I get the sense, you know how when you take your foot off the brake and everyone's on the car just rolls back a little bit. That's more like when it's a manual.
Yeah.
But you still get that a little bit in a
automatic.
Yeah. And I'm like, this is a really steep hill, and she's right behind me there. And like an idiot, I should have just gone, can you just move your car? Can you back your car up so I don't roll into you in my rental while I'm doing this complicated maneuver? But I'm just like, all I want to do is get out of here, and all I'm thinking about is that fucking pizza.
So I could know how this ends. Did you get the coverage on the car?
I did not have any coverage on the
car. Oh, boy. All right.
So this is how it ends, is that because I've done it many times in my own car. I'm on a hill, and I go, I know what my car is going to do. And so I go,
this is not your car.
Take your foot off the brake. You hit that gas. And boom, you'll pull right out of it, and it won't be a problem. I said, that's what's going to happen with this car. This car is going to come through. And I took my foot off the brake, and I hit the gas, and I was in reverse.
Oh, jeez.
You thought you knew how that was going to end.
I did. I knew you hit the car.
Yeah.
I knew regardless when you said no coverage that this ends with you hitting the car. Yes. I did not know you hit it. Blooped it. Yeah. You put a bloop in the front of that car is what you did.
So I'm just like, oh crap. And then I put it in drive and I pulled forward, no trouble. Didn't want to roll back at all.
Oh, really? It was because you'd hooked into the bumper or what?
No, I just mean that.
Oh, you would have been able to do
it. Yeah, the only reason it felt like it wanted to roll back was because I was in reverse.
Yeah.
So I was able to pull forward. They all sort of looked over, and there was this cry. I mean, I thought I hit one of them. They cried out. Yeah, right. Ah! So
nobody noticed the white lights?
No.
Somebody had to be there.
That's funny.
He knows.
Right.
He knows.
That's funny. Yeah. No, nobody said anything. So anyway, they looked at her car. They said, oh, it's all right. Mom's car is fine. And I said, yeah. What about the rental? We can take care of Mom's car later. And they go, yours is fine too, which I hardly believed.
Yeah.
But it was. I mean, the noise it made, it's impossible that there wasn't damage to these cars. There was no damage.
Nice.
And there was sweat pouring off my eyes.
I bet.
You know, fight or flight, you know.
Anyway. Meanwhile, your mom's trying to rush you out because you're
going
to miss your flight.
Exactly.
Why are you sitting here staring? Go. You're going to miss your flight.
Right. So I went and had yummy, delightful pizza. There was a Starbucks next door, so I stole their Wi-Fi, and I watched Netflix while I hung out and football, and I sat there and enjoyed myself. And then I got on the road. I didn't miss my flight.
But, good job.
Yes, it all worked out. So I don't know that you weren't alluding to that. You didn't know I almost ran over my family and ruined a car.
No, that's great.
Pocket, but,
that was awesome.
It was a good one.
I loved it. My week.
Yeah, tell us.
I went to Omaha and went to, as I call, Radio Space Camp this week. I was on, if anybody listens, Wednesday mornings at 8 o'clock Central. During that hour, I'll do a couple breaks on Steve King's morning show on CD105.9 in Omaha. If you want to listen from anywhere, you could get the app at cd105.com/app. It's a free app, and you can listen to classic rock. And I'll be honest, I wish there was more talking on it. It was a shocker to all the people who listened to this show. But it was really great. Steve gave me an opportunity to know what a morning show was like from beginning to end, and I really
that's so cool.
I really appreciated it. It was a ton of fun. I brought donuts and or muffins every day that I came in there. Those guys, I had to get up. I volunteered to bring donuts on Monday morning, and he was like, no, don't worry about it. And I was like, no. I said, it's either donuts or a handy under the console. And he goes, well, it's been a while since I've gotten a hand job from a dude.
Either way, something's getting glazed.
Exactly. Hey-o! At least, he goes, and then he said, at least 2 weeks since I've gotten a hand job from a dude. I said, well, it's been longer than 2 weeks since I gave one, but I am very competitive, you know what I mean? Like I aim to please, so take from that what you will.
Right.
And he said, donuts it is then. And, but then I realized that he was being nice because there are no donuts open at 5.
Oh, that's
morning
funny.
DJs show up at 4 a.m. So I was like,
drive to another time zone.
Exactly. So what I actually did was I bought donuts at 9:30 at night at Krispy Kreme, and then took them home and kept them in my hotel room and slept, and then got up.
And
I
had to get up an empty box. Right. The next day.
I ate some like I'm Forrest Gump. And so it's funny that you mentioned that, because I was buying 2 dozen donuts, and then I would buy an extra one for myself because I could not resist the temptation.
An extra donut.
Okay, yes, not an extra dozen. No, that would be awesome.
I couldn't resist.
But so yeah, everybody was, it was fun. There's a guy there who's on Star 104. Yeah.
They don't just throw in the 25th donut.
Yeah,
you?
Exactly. I thought that same thing. I was like, really? Fucks. What the fuck, man? Come on. But there's a guy there who's on Star 104, and it's very interesting because I know I've said on this show that there's kind of a hope that I would be like the sidekick in that on that station if there's a chance. It's very up in the air. But the other morning show there is on like an AC, Adult Contemporary Hit, so it's like easy listening kind of vibe. And they have a man and a woman on there, but they cannot talk. They're not. It's nothing but music. And yet it takes two people to do the morning show on that station, and yet the classic rock station does not have two people for whatever reason. It's two different program directors, but the same company. So what this guy does, because he loves doing radio and it's what he loves and knows and all this stuff, he comes into the booth and Steve's and gives us like morning show. He's like, okay, fact or fake? Like, he goes into this whole thing. Where is the largest peach in the United States is in Georgia? Fact or fake? Like, and that's what I love is that the other thing is awesome about hanging out at a radio station is everybody sounds like that guy. Right. Everybody is right here, but they're talking about what they did last weekend.
Even the janitor.
He comes in. I'm just going to change these trash cans. We're going to be coming in with new fresh cans. We're going to be paying your trash to be taken. That's what we're doing. We're coming it up. Fifth caller is going to get their trash can changed first. But he, but it's just great because they'll be like, oh, what did you do this weekend? Well, I'll tell you what I did. Me and the wife, we went and saw that Planes Rescue, Fire and Danger, the sequel. I don't know. Did you see the first one? And the guy was like, yeah, I did. Well, it was, the sequel was fantastic as well. And that's the host of this like AC station, which is very funny because I told him, I go, hey, Chris, you should go see Big Hero 6. And he's like, I'm not into it. I go, it's far better a movie than those plain garbage movies. Right. But he's like, it's just anything direct to video. He's like, have you seen the latest offering from those Olsen twins? Oh, my God. They are all grown up and up to shenanigans. Oh, my goodness. It is outstanding. But he's such a great guy, and it was so funny. And great hanging out with them. But it was this weird thing where, because they knew me, because I'm a fucking internet celebrity. And they come in and they see me on Monday, but they're used to seeing the comedians come in on like Thursday or Friday.
Right.
And so they see me on a Monday morning. It's like 4 a.m. I'm sitting there in the office, and the news guy from the morning show, the other morning show that I do, you do Steve's show and then you do Todd and Tyler on CD or Z92. It's the rock station in the same company. And they goes, Craig, the news guy, he's like, what are you doing here? Because Steve had to go, you remember Justin, right? And he was like, and he remembered me, but he didn't know why, because I was in the wrong place at the wrong time kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But so then it was fun, and it was great. Because of me doing a show at the Omaha Zoo, which, by the way, I cannot praise this zoo enough.
I heard the break after you'd had the tour.
Oh my gosh!
And then I saw you at the on the
oh yeah
the
on
video.
The morning blend. Yeah.
You look great, by the way.
Thank you very much. That's very kind of you. The I'll talk about that in a sec. The this zoo though is an absolutely incredible. They joked that like when they said, "Oh, you're going to take a tour of the zoo," and I go, "Yeah." They go, "I don't know." I said I was doing a show at the zoo first.
Right.
Oh, have you been to the zoo? It's incredible. And I said, no, I've never been like to the Omaha. They go, well, everybody thinks San Diego Zoo is the best. No, we're the number one in the world. Like, according to TripAdvisor, they are the number one zoo in, I think, the world. It might be just the United States. But at that point, really, honestly, who cares? I mean, the only way that a zoo outside of the United States could be better is that you can actually poke sticks at the animal because there's no, like, humane society.
And they have human specimens.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
But This zoo, they're not joking. It was absolutely incredible. And they did give me a backstage tour. And it was funny because the guy puts like a 12-inch monitor lizard on my arm. And it starts immediately trying to crawl up. And you always see those guys on the late night talk shows.
Yeah.
I'm a big Kimmel fan. So he's deathly afraid of all the animals, which is right. Why they love having this guy on there. And I said, it's so silly. Like, why would they give him an animal that's going to hurt him, you know?
Right.
But then this monitor lizard is like climbing up my shoulder. And it's like, I'm afraid it's going to think my earlobe is a grape. And it's just going to nip me, and but I don't want to look at it. And the guy was full of information. There was this one point where they have this huge geodesic or whatever they have a big globe with all
geodesic.
These panels. Yeah, geodesic. Yes. I've just been informed, and so the inside is a desert, and it's all temperature controlled, obviously, and everything.
Right.
And they have all the deserts of the world. They have the largest rattlesnake exhibit in the world as well. And which is essentially the size of a very, very large walk-in closet, which made me laugh. but they have this huge hill, like in the middle of it, right? This huge red sand hill.
Yeah.
And so we're walking around. The guy explains. He goes, "All right, we're just going to go this way," and just takes us into the exhibit. Like we're walking up, like where it's like, "Do not walk on the sand," like signs. And we're
right.
And I was very uncomfortable. It was very weird, even though he told me to do it. And every area in a zoo, I'm sure people know this, and I'm just an idiot.
Are you alone on this tour?
No,
or
it's
there
me,
were
and
others?
There's another guy from the club, but it's
okay.
not. He's not a comedian. He's like the kitchen manager. He's a great guy.
He's a busboy.
Yeah, no, he's not a busboy, but it would be funnier if he was and didn't speak a lick of English.
Right,
that
exactly.
would also be awesome. Yes, Mr. Justin. Martine, hold this lizard for me. Yes, Mr. Justin. So we go up the hill,
that
and
sounds
they
like
show
a
me
show.
Exactly. That's my only shot at this. I do some kind of reboot for television of Zookeeper, Kevin James Zookeeper,
right.
At my site, and it'll be the kid from Napoleon Dynamite who plays the Mexican busboy. But anyway, so he goes. So we go up there, and he shows us how they have like these tanks where they a lot of people will get alligators as pets, and then they can't keep them when they get big.
Yeah.
So they get confiscated by animal control, and then they get donated to a zoo.
Okay.
It's very interesting. So they have these essentially like really big kiddie pools that are filled with alligators, and these guys are in quarantine because they have to make sure they're okay. But these were all found that people either found on the side of the road where they don't belong, because alligators are not native to Nebraska, for anybody who doesn't know.
Oh, right. I keep forgetting it's Nebraska.
Yeah. But the coolest part of the tour, as anybody who goes to facebook.com/dadpodcast can hear me talk about this a little bit on their morning blend. It's like Good Day, whatever your city is, but theirs is called Morning Blend. It was a ton of fun. Those people are super nice, and it's the first time I've ever done, like, if you're a big name comedian, they always have you do TV because that's how they maximize bringing people out. And the TV stations want you if you're kind of a big celebrity. And the way this worked out is that I was opening for Bobcat Goldthwait this weekend, and Bobcat booked something with NPR, so he had to do that on Thursday in Austin, and he was flying up to Omaha on Friday, and he wouldn't be there in the morning, so he didn't get to do radio or television. I think he called into the radio show still. But anyway.
Yes, he did.
So we go in there. Oh, he called into our show.
Yeah,
but he
I
also,
heard that.
On Friday, he called into the number one morning show, the rock show there, Todd and Tyler. And so.
Right.
So that's how I got on this TV thing. But he goes around. We were literally in a pen that they were like giving water to the rattlesnakes before releasing them into the exhibit kind of thing.
Yeah.
They stay in like little, almost like plastic kennels, like you'd keep a cat in, I guess, when they're not out for people to enjoy.
And, right.
So we're sitting there, and nothing was ever said. He goes, he did tell us, we have hot rooms. Somebody came up with the term hot room, and that means that there are venomous animals in here, and then there are cards on the cages. And he's like, red is venomous, yellow is not, and all this cool stuff. So we go through it, and nobody ever does any kind of briefing or anything. So we leave that, and then we go to this other room, and he stops us in the hallway, and he's like, okay. I'm going to go into a little bit more detail that I went into the morning blend because it was very funny. He said, okay, we're going to go in here, and I just want you to know that if anything goes wrong, the first thing I need you to do is to leave the room. And he goes, do me a favor. Don't run out of the room. Don't like go grab one of those guys. Like, cause there's like these young zookeepers that are all over the place. He goes, don't get them. Don't freak anybody out. He goes, definitely don't say anything to my contact for the comedy show that I was doing that night. Like he goes, and don't try and be a hero. He said, and when he says, don't try and be a hero, he goes, cause then what's going to happen is I'm going to need to first save your life and then worry about saving my life. And it's just, it's bad. It's bad all around. Now, having told this story two or three times since, I'm starting to realize that I think I was the victim of his bit to be honest. Like, I think it's like a shtick that he does to kind of to ramp it up a notch. But he But in the moment, I'm sitting there and I'm listening, going, oh, because he's very serious, and I'm like, oh, okay, okay. And then I said, and I go, and in my head, I have a moment where I go, whatever's in there, we don't have to see it. We could just, I'm like, I'm totally fine. Like, I don't need danger in my life. Like, I thought I was not taking advantage of the tour because he kept having to say, well, do you want to hold it? And I'd be like, oh, yeah, sure. But I didn't want to, it's just weird with zoo animals. Like,
I was talking about an animal.
No, no, his penis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And, that's how I paid for the tour. But anyway, he...
he'd heard about the hand job under the console.
Well, yeah, listen, I'm famous now.
Word gets around.
Omaha's a small community. But the...
never have you back.
Exactly. Like, I can't... I just... I don't know. I felt weird, like, exploiting the animals. I was so happy for all the information. He was teaching me so much cool stuff. Like, real quick side story is that there was a rattlesnake that was kind of small, and then there was a bigger one that was, like, coiled up, and he was on top of him, and he was, like, convulsing.
Yeah.
And then I go, is that like a mating dance? Is that what he's doing? He's like, no, actually, he's showing dominance. He goes, these are all, I think he said they were all males, and that they don't put females in there for fear that they would fight over the female.
Right.
But he said, he goes, this is just like, and he actually made a joke. He goes, I don't know, it's kind of inappropriate, but it's like prison sex. He's like, yeah, you're my bitch.
Right.
And he goes, you'll see him actually start to wrap the rattle around his tail. And that's like him saying, get down, fucker.
That's like when you pull your pocket out of your pants and you have the other guy has to hold the pocket.
I don't know what those mean. No, I don't. All right. Is that an elephant
trunk?
Somebody
out there is laughing. No, it's a prison thing. That's
how many times have you been to prison, Paco?
This is just from my watching of television.
Oh, so, really? Yeah. That's oddly specific for somebody who just watched The Wire. All right. All right. Look it up on Urban Dictionary, whatever your gay club references are. They hang on to it?
Go on.
Like an elephant trunk? Anyway.
I don't know.
So I was like, oh, that's interesting. But to get back to this thing, so he's like, okay, here we go. And he turns around, he opens the door, and there were chain link fences, and there's like a couple of gates, and down at the end, maybe 15 feet away, there's like a what looks like a hallway that obviously has water. So there's a ramp that goes down into the water, and then floating in the water are like some sticks and some pretty big logs. And then attached to, like, hanging off of a hook on the chain link fence is a gigantic cowbell. And he's in like one of those gigantic garbage cans you'd see at a school lunchroom. And he goes, do me a favor, grab that cowbell and just give it a shake. Now, what I'd forgotten at this point is that I'd already fed smaller alligators from like 20 feet up. Right.
Oh,
so I'm
shaking
a little tiny bell, and then they come to the bell and you scatter food. So I'm shaking this cowbell, and I go clang 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 clang, and he goes, no, keep going. And so I go clang 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 clang, and then
welcome to Jurassic.
Exactly.
Park.
Na 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 na. And it was great because you get to see how fucking amazing these things are as hunters.
Yeah.
Like, it just literally comes out of the water like a Navy SEAL. Like, it just comes up. You just see nothing and then something. And something very fucking huge that is genetically made to kill you.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's funny. And it came up. So I stopped. And he goes, no, keep going. There's more. And so I keep shaking it. Like, you really get it. He's like, really, really get it. And so, and then later I realized, after telling the story a couple times, is that there were people out there trying to take pictures of the alligators in the actual exhibit, probably. And I'm like, click, click, and they're all like all disappearing, like, so they can entertain my jackass.
Right, right.
So he goes, when we go in here, just do me a favor, don't go beyond me. And I was like, not a fucking problem. So we go in there, and then he has like a scoop, and there's these gigantic... the only way I could describe them is like, you know when you buy a fresh pair of underwear, how they're all rolled tight?
Yes, yes.
It's about that size. It's like,
okay.
And it's called alligator chow. And what they did at this zoo, they did a study where they bought alligator chow, fed it to some of the alligators, and then they fed the usual diet that they were feeding alligators, which is like some rabbits, some rats, some chickens.
Yeah.
So like the whole natural food. And he found that blood tests, everything, weight, all that stuff, everything stayed the same. But the alligator chow obviously is cheaper. So now they do only alligator chow.
Mm-hmm.
And you throw this like pellet, and he goes, just throw it next to their head. That's where they like it. And you put it, and then it waits like a beat, and then it lunges after it. Like it attacks it. So we're all just hucking food.
Is it in the water or is it out?
It's in the water,
okay,
and you're
so
standing at the edge of the water.
Chow
he literally
is bobbing on the
his right foot. He was leaning up against the wall, and his right foot is less than 6 inches from the edge of this alligator snout. The tip of it. I was probably a foot away from that.
Yeah.
From where I was tossing them. And here's what I thought was wildly impressive about what they do.
Yes.
These alligators are trained to not go beyond the edge of the water. So I said, how do you do that? Like, any, so what happens is when the zookeepers are feeding them, if one comes out of the water, then they go behind the fence.
I could probably train an alligator to do that.
Well, I would like to see you.
Well, with my experience training animals.
No, you'd be too busy making three variations of alligator chow, and you'd be trying to figure out, like, because you couldn't talk to these alligators. You'd try to, I really don't think he likes it when I break it up. I think he likes it a little bit. He likes his warmed. I know he likes his a little hot.
Yes.
But
got to cut the crust off of that
exactly.
one.
He likes to rough it up, agitate it.
Right.
The but there was also a great moment where the guy, the busboy, as we like to call him now.
Yes, Martin.
Yes, Mr. Justin. he threw it, and it hit the alligator right on the snout and made like a hard, like, knocking sound. That's how hard that top of that is, man. Wow. It was like knocking on wood almost. But what he told me is that so they leave. They leave and stop feeding, and so then the alligators have kind of slowly learned that, like, as long as we stay here, food's going to keep coming. So they don't come out of the water. Then they've also trained them that they get, like, a stick or a cane, and they tap an alligator on the snout, and then they tap that stick on the ground, and only that alligator comes out of the water and touches its nose to that stick, and then it gets a food reward. And then they move it a little bit further away, and then they tap it on the ground, and then it gets a food reward. So they could get, they go, we found out we could get it on the scale, and then we could weigh it. And then they found out that they would let us mess with their tails. As long as we were feeding them, they didn't care. So we can examine them. And then the Omaha Zoo is the first zoo to develop the ability to artificially inseminate an alligator.
Oh, my God.
So I said, what?
Wow.
He goes into this great I really think this is very interesting in that I know it's not very good for a dad podcast.
It's exciting that next year they'll actually be using alligator sperm.
Yeah,
up
exactly.
till now.
Oh, my God. That was the highlight. It was bukkaking on a female alligator. It was so great for me.
You always go so far.
Well, you open the door. I'm just sorry.
Everyone, I'm sorry. I'm going to stop.
They love it. If they didn't like it, they wouldn't listen. Come on.
There's that one woman, though.
No, she doesn't care. She only cared that we were cursing. So here's the point is that I thought that you have to, like, somebody has to, you know, jerk off an alligator. And he's like, no, actually, it's not a thing. Or alligators don't actually climax like we do. And that their penises are, like, curled up, like almost like if you were to make a heart shape with both. So you put the bottom of your palms together and then curl your fingers into a fist. And so the way that they have to do it is they get in there and then they kind of pull the thing apart. And inside is all the sperm and stuff like that. And then they kind of wring it out from there.
Uh-huh.
And then they use an arthroscopic scope to go in and find the ovary ducts on the female alligator.
Oh.
And then they inject the sperm into there. And that's how they do it. And then they collect the eggs and then they keep them separate from in the exhibit. But the alligators actually in their exhibit have a nesting area that people can see.
Oh, cool.
And the alligators will go up and lay the eggs. And then the zookeepers collect them and then keep them in a warm, tempered environment.
Right.
And
you get an omelet on the way.
That's in the cafe. Only for celebrities, though.
Right.
Only for a celebrity.
Right.
I get a live alligator omelet. I went mine Denver just to get rid of that
because
it's gamey tasting.
I imagine.
But it was such a cool experience. And then there's some things that they politely asked me to not share on social media.
Okay.
And so it's really, really hard. But let me just put it to you this way. I got to see baby animals. And I got to see a couple of there was one baby that had just been born, and it was awesome. In fact, it's probably in I think they said it was in USA Today or something like that.
Uh-huh.
But I, just for the sake of respect and kindness, so I'm sorry if it's rude, there's a payoff for all this. So then there's another point where we go in and let's just say, pick whatever large cat in your head so you can imagine this with me.
Okay.
So just pick a large African-esque cat, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And imagine getting to play with those babies as if they're like little kittens with little kitten toys and stuff like that. And that's one of the cool things that these fantastic people at the Omaha Zoo let me do.
Wow.
And what was interesting about it is that they track genetically all of their animals. They have DNA and know what their genetic traits are. And so they, in a sense, breed them to be successful. Like, that's what they do. And so this particular set of cubs, their mom got sick or whatever. But they already knew that the cubs were not going to be genetically viable to be able to create more chicks for them.
Oh, yeah.
So when the mom passed away, that's why these wait, did I just say what kind of animal it was?
No.
Okay,
you didn't. You didn't.
So I did?
Yes.
Oh, damn it.
But this is a different anecdote you're telling.
Oh, okay.
So continue.
Good. So anyway, so they...
everybody? We're using code names.
Oh, shit. But anyway, so the mom passes away, right? Yes. And they there's nothing that can they can't really use these cubs with everything else. So what they do is they surround them with human contact constantly from beginning to end.
Right.
So these animals go home with people. They don't stay at the zoo. They go back to their houses and spend the night with them, so they could be around other animals and other people, kids even. So they grow up immersed in human contact.
Yeah,
and they become ambassadors for the zoo. So they go out with them.
That's so cool.
For like personal appearances and everything like that. And here's what I thought.
Go to the motel with visiting celebrities?
No, I did not do that. But they, what was awesome was that they it's for me, this is why I think I'm bad for these kinds of tours, is that what I love is the business behind it all. That's what I love.
Yes.
I love the idea that so the zoo does all these things for us, right? But primarily what a zoo's function is, is to educate the public on these animals for the purposes of conservation.
Right.
Most of the work that they do is actually behind the scenes. Like there are animals that they raise and breed just to reintroduce to the wild. The public never even sees these animals, but it's because, you know, they're dying off, and that's what the zoos do. There's like training. So like, for instance, if I have three rattlesnakes but I need an Okuchi.
Go fish.
Yeah, exactly. Then I send you three rattlesnakes, you send me an Okuchi, and everything is great and fantastic. They have some sloths that were on lend from like a college that they have. It was phenomenally interesting,
that's
absolutely
really
incredible,
cool.
Life-changing experience. And the reason I bring this all up is that I honestly believe, and I would give it a few months, wait till their large cat and giraffe pen, they're building an elephant area, and it's this huge, huge thing. It is worth, no matter where you live, to fly into Omaha to go to the Omaha Zoo. I swear to you.
Wow.
I swear to you. It is just what is there, and they also offer, for obviously a little bit more, they are offering backstage tours. Now, whether or not you'll get the absolute complete access that I got, I find it hard to believe that they're going to let you go in there with a two-year-old and feed an alligator. You know what I mean?
Right.
But or play with babies, you know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff. But there, you get somebody who walks around with you, and you get to see behind the scenes and hold some animals and touch them and really learn about them. And it was absolutely incredible. And I'm not saying this because they're paying me. I'm saying it because they did it for free for me.
They,
it was incredible.
Told you not to say some of this, and you've done it anyway. So clearly, you're not doing it.
No, I have to go back and make sure I don't say the animal.
I know you will.
Unless I forget.
It's not
here's the thing. If you're listening to this and I forgot to edit out the animal, just please do me a favor. Don't tweet it. Don't say anything, because it would be really screwed up. It would be really jacked up.
Be good to daddy.
Yeah,
be
please. Good to daddy. Please, please, please.
Is anyone listening? That would be the way to tell.
Well, I just told them, too.
No, that's what I mean.
Yeah, there's eight people listening, I think, right now is what it says.
No, but I mean, those are the only eight people, because you're going to.
I might forget. I'll be honest.
Oh, no, I'm going to be on you.
Okay, good. And then you'll tell me to edit it. Ba-boom! But that's it. That was kind of everything that happened to me. I got to be on the morning blend. What is that?
That is a character whose name was Teabag. And he is offering you the inside of his pocket. And you would hold on to that like you were holding the hand of your father.
Oh.
And you belonged to him.
That means you were his bitch.
Yes.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That's what that was.
Good to know.
Yes.
And what was the other thing I was going to say? Oh, and if you want to see me talking about some of the zoo stuff on the Morning Blend, if you go to facebook.com/dadpodcast, that's my first morning show appearance. And I really want to thank everybody at the Omaha Funny Bone, in particular Colleen, for giving me that opportunity. It was awesome.
I thought you did great. I did notice that they got a plug in for the competition.
What competition?
At the very end of the thing, the handsome hairdo down the couch from you mentions the two named radio personalities.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
He was saying they were on Todd and Tyler.
Oh, our friends over Todd and Tyler.
Yeah. He called it the Todd and Tyler.
Couldn't just have you reference the guys you were there visiting from.
Yes, exactly.
Had
Steve.
To get in there. Had to get in the other one.
I didn't mean to say it mentioned Steve, but everybody was like wondering why I was there all week. In fact, Mary, the chick on the show, used to be Steve's sidekick before she got the job on the morning show there on television.
I
and so
see.
She came by, saw me in my schlubby attire of T-shirt, cargo pants, and glasses, unshaven.
Yeah.
And then Daddy shows up shaven, contacts, a jacket, a nice solid shirt, nice pants, and she's like, I didn't know that you were the guy. Like,
that's funny.
Yeah, it was great.
That's cool.
So
that's cool. Are you moving off the radio thing?
What do you mean?
I wanted to say one thing before you left it.
Well, we gotta start wrapping up. You gotta go do your
date. Jesus Christ. oh no, there's nothing happening.
Yeah, you got to be gone.
There will be nothing happening.
Okay,
we'll watch some HBO show that's on the
right,
TV.
But I don't want to make you late. Anyway, go.
Understand. No.
What were you going to say?
This is what I was going to say. It was interesting to me. First of all, I thought I listened to probably about 10 or 12 breaks, different mornings. One morning I was up at an ungodly hour, and I was texting you as you were doing it. I think you knew I was
there. Yes, yeah, that was fun.
Sometimes you knew I was there, sometimes you didn't. And it was fun to hear you in that other, like, you know, real setting, and it was like all the stakes are higher and everything else. And
yeah, where I have to watch my mouth.
Is that what you have to watch your mouth.
Yeah.
But what I realized after a couple of minutes was, hey, he's doing my job.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
He has to let the other guy talk.
Yeah.
And he has to try to find a way in.
I want everybody who ever listens to me on that show to be imagining me just sweating, like chewing on my tongue constantly.
Right. He's got a tack in his shoes so he can concentrate on the pain.
Some people have commented on Facebook if they listen to my weekly segment on that show. They're like, he's 5 minutes in and he can't even let that guy talk. It's his show.
Well, I was going to say, I thought you did a passable job, and if you want some tips, I can give you tips.
I would appreciate some sidekick notes.
No, I thought you were great. And then, well, here's the thing. What was cool to me was that there were certain points where they would bring you up, and then sometimes where he would just completely turn it over. And clearly, Daddy knows what he's doing. I mean, it was like, boom, you're out of the box. You're doing your shit. You know, when he let you up just a little bit, it filled in really nicely. I'm like, if that guy was smart, he'd do that more.
Yeah.
Because I was sitting there going, does he usually do this alone?
Yes.
That's weird.
He has Cammy, the traffic chick. That's the only person he usually talks to.
That's hard to do with what he's got and to...
He actually called in sick on Monday. He was saying, everybody was joking, next week. Funny. He goes, because what I found is that it blew by. Yeah. I mean, think about it. I was on the air for 5 hours and it seemed like less time than this show.
Yes.
And
this feels like forever.
How dare you? How fucking dare you? Stay frosty, everyone. By the way, look on Craigslist.com/newpodcastpsychic.
Yeah.
He said, he goes, when you're by yourself, he goes, it can really, really drag on and there's nobody to talk to. And I kept saying, am I doing okay? Like, because I want to learn. And one of the things that I thought was interesting, he said, he's like, no, you're here, you're present, but you're not overpowering, which is important when you're the sidekick, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
That's a little note you might want to write there. No, I'm kidding.
That's funny. I had stuff. Some of it can always wait.
Yeah.
It can be teaser stuff. I did want to do a real quick edgewise.
Let's
I
do an edgewise.
Talked about.
Let's do it.
All right.
Right. Do we have, I forget. Do I have a, I still don't have a thing. I got to get my friend to make the thing.
There you go.
All right. Here's edgewise with Paco Lancini, and I'm going to break my headphones and I'm going to mute. Bye.
Oh, sorry. Like an idiot. I'm waiting to hear a thing play.
I don't have one.
All right, I don't trust you. No, I know you wouldn't mess with the sacredity of Edgewise. Anyway, just to get things serious for take it down a notch for a bit, everyone can take a breath. I wanted to circle back and talk just a little bit about the my uncle who had passed away. Anyway, I don't want to be a big downer. But it was relatively sudden, and he had sort of made his peace when his time came, and so it wasn't, you know, terrible in that way. But for a guy who kind of out of nowhere, they said, hey, there's a situation, and the short amount of time he had, he really got his ducks in a row and handled himself really well, and everyone who was on that side of the country really had a chance to do what they needed to with him, which was wonderful. And so I was here, and my mom reached out to me and said, hey, you might want to send him a, she said he's completely using email and so on and so forth, and go ahead and send him just a word from me. She says, I don't know what to say. It's a hard situation, but, you know, see what you can, if it means something to you, I'm sure it'll mean something to him, kind of a thing. And so I spent a while thinking about him. I hadn't talked to him or seen him in decades, really. When I was younger, between the ages of 10 and maybe 18, used to see quite a bit of him, his wife, and their two kids. We did a lot of camping with them in the Midwest, and then when we lived in Rhode Island, they're Connecticut-based, they would come see us all the time, so we would go to see them. So there was a lot of back and forth, and I did spend a lot of time with him when I was younger. And so it started to get to me a little bit at that point when I realized, when I was thinking back to those earlier times. Anyway, this is what I ended up writing him, and I thought I'd read it to you folks just as a kind of a tribute to him. A few years ago, while hiking, I was suddenly overtaken by a thrill. A breathless wonder at what might lay ahead elated me and pulled me forward. I came to recognize the feeling from my childhood adventures while camping, some of which we shared together. In fact, when I think back to the times I spent with you, Pauline, and the kids, I see trees, so many trees, and the color green. From the pine woods of Wisconsin to that Connecticut house on the hill, always green, and a sense of comfort and peace. I have started hiking with my son, Diego, now, and I swoon at the joy on his face as we crest a hill to soak in what lies before us. The adventure-loving boy inside me smiles brightly along with him, loving it all. I hope that boy inside me never loses his light, and I hope as well that the one within you never dims. You are in my heart and on my mind. Stay green, Dick. Peace. Anyway. I love you, Dick, and Godspeed. And thank you for listening, folks.
Is that good? Am I good now?
Yes, you're
all
right,
good. Oh, jeez. Oh, my God. I don't know what he said, but wish I was getting a Coke during that. No, I'm kidding. Totally kidding. Totally kidding. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. No, that's okay. I'm sorry. No, you gotta bring it back up again. I understand.
This is what the most tempting button was to press. During that whole thing was, and it's so jacked up.
Oh, no, no.
No, that was beautiful.
Right.
Well, very well written. Paco, everybody knows. Paco's a fantastic writer, good with the words. And poignant. There's a reason why those ladies at that school love you, the poem.
Well, thank you. I didn't do it to get shined on, but I don't know. It just, we had talked one time about how young is too young to see the body and so on and so forth. And I had said at that time that I have been lucky enough to live this long without really encountering somebody close like that. There have been other aunts and uncles, but they weren't people who were really part of my life. And
so this is kind of the first person you lost
really,
that's close to you.
Yeah. I mean, there was a therapist who killed himself, but
yeah, fuck that guy, right?
Yeah, no, there was a therapist. He didn't kill himself. And oh, that was weird. That was extremely weird.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, you know, he didn't have that kind of deep-rooted thing.
And because of history and all that.
Yeah. This was a real decent, sweet guy, you know. Yeah. I was growing up in a divorced family, and you know, my father didn't get a lot of good press from Broomhilda and from my mother, Drusilla. I can't remember the name I gave her before.
Okay,
might have been Drusilla.
By the way, the listeners that I encounter on the road here's what I love. Some of them love to laugh at the names, and you're confusing yourself up
there. Yes.
Some of them ask me if it's real.
Like,
they go, is he that worried about? I go, no. I think it's a thing that started off to protect, but then when he came on the show full time, he was like, but now it's fun.
Right.
Now
yes, I will say for the record that when I started, it seemed pretty wise. It was mostly a joke when I said it, but it actually had a sound base to it.
Yeah.
But at this point, as far as keeping things from my own family, the boys are they're familiar enough with all of it to be able to find it and know and listen, and they enjoy listening what little bits that I play for them, and they don't seem to seek it out otherwise. So that's good for me.
Oh, you're treating them like alligators. If you feed them, then they won't hunt it out.
They can play with their tails.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So in any case, and then he's true. Then eventually, as it started to expand, the joke of it to me became, well, the dogs have to have different names.
Yeah, exactly.
So then it became funny to me. And then, I can't keep track of all of it, honestly. And there are people I haven't bothered talking about because I just didn't want to have to come up with a name for them. So, anyway, thank you for indulging me that. And I will I promise to be more lighthearted.
Don't worry about it. Let's do a little moment of the week.
Oh, sure.
You worry too much.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the Week, brought to you by Dad Gear. All your child traveling needs packed into stylish, practical perfection. Designed by real dads for real dads and moms. Don't be the guy with a diaper purse. Be the man with the Dad Gear diaper backpack. Go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Dad Gear logo on the right-hand side. It's made in the USA.
Don't forget, this is the last time, technically, I will find out. I'm going to send them an email. So by the time you're hearing this, this is technically the end of our agreement. So please go to thedadpodcast.com, click on the Dad Gear logo.
Oh, but yeah.
I'm going to send any. This is the 2 months is what they want to do, a trial period. I know somebody said they got the messenger
bag.
Yes,
I was going to tell you somebody
Facebook,
got the bag.
So thank you
for
them.
I was excited about that.
Don't forget to post a picture when it arrives, please. But please go to thedadpodcast.com, click on that Dad Gear logo, and pick yourself up a fantastic, practical, amazingly designed Dad Gear diaper backpack. They got the messenger bags. They got the diaper vest, all that stuff. Moment of the week, I have one that I ran by Paco before the show, so I apologize if this is a repeat. But I was going back through my notes, and this one comes from Jack. I picked him up from school, and he said, we drive by this park that is next to a fire station that is known for people exercising in. In fact, there is a homeless person who is learning to juggle also there, which I find very interesting. You see him stumbling through it. And anyway, one day we're just driving home, and Jack, much like his father, does not shut up. Like in the morning, he gets up and he has to make up for the 10 hours he's been sleeping and talking in that first hour of waking up. He just nonstop. And then when you pick him up from school, he's been talking the entire time there, but now you have not experienced him talking. So he has to get you caught up there. And I'm very proud of myself as a father because I have not been annoyed by it so much as I find it very cute and funny and reminds me of myself. And I mostly am not annoyed by it because my mother was so annoyed by it when I was a kid. But anyway, he said as we walked by, he goes, you know, when I get big, I'm going to exercise at that park and get big and strong. And I said, oh, yeah? He goes, yeah. And then I'll take my shirt off, which I thought was incredibly adorable because he runs around in his underwear all the time.
Right.
But I don't know what he thought, but I guess he thinks that's what you do when you get older. You go to a park and exercise and go shirtless. But
well, he knows Dad doesn't go shirtless.
Exactly. He never sees me at the park exercising. Right. So anyway, with Jacob, it happened while my dad was here. And we were doing the studio stuff. It was I was doing a hardware store run. I was going to Lowe's.
Oh, yeah.
Who I also have reached out to sponsor the show, but I've not heard back from them. Shocker.
Bastards. And,
so I'm on my way to Lowe's, and Jacob sees a moment. And so he goes out to my dad, and he says, my dad's not here, huh? And he says, and my dad goes, no. And he goes, when he's gone, you're in charge, right? And my dad goes, yeah, my dad already knew, and my dad loves this. This yes. makes my father the happiest person in the world when he sees a child's mind working in this fashion.
Right.
And so he says, can I play Skylanders? And he goes, knock yourself out. Now, what's great about it is that I don't even really have a rule that Jacob can't play Skylanders, but it's just that he already knows Grandpa, there's a 90% plus chance Grandpa will say yes to whatever he asks.
Right.
What he does not yet know, I'm sure, is that just because he broached the subject under the premise of you're in charge because my dad's at the hardware store, essentially, that no matter what he asked for, my father was going to give him.
Right.
Because my father loves to reward that kind of stuff. He just loves that kind of thinking, loves everything about it.
Right.
And so,
he should have gone bigger.
Yeah, exactly. He could have literally, he could have asked my father for $100.
Right, right.
Because every time my son does some of that stuff, he goes, I can remind that kid, I got to give him some money.
Like, I had a job once where they were letting me go. It was fine. I'd come to the end. And I had been training people. So I was the guy who had all the training. Yeah, I had training manuals, but I had like the depth of it.
Yeah.
And they were like, all right, well, we'd like you to write that up. And I'm like, well, that's not what I get paid for. So they said, okay, give us your hourly rate and how long you think it'll take you to write it up. Just name your price and do it. And so in my mind, I went, you know, I was like 18 or 19. I thought, maybe 20. And I thought, well, you know, what's the biggest, you know, it was like the biggest number I could think of. And I thought, well, like $15 an hour. That's crazy. That's a lot of money. I'm going to ask him, double 30. I'm going to go 35, 36. And then, you know, then we'll end up at 15 or whatever. And then I'll have this room to go. And I went in, I sat down with the guy, and he said, what is it you want? And I said, $36 an hour. He said, fine. And he just went on the next thing, and I went, oh, my God, it could have been 50. You know, I just knew there's like he was going to say yes to whatever I said just to have the conversation be over with.
That's so
and
great.
So it took me 20 years to learn that, so he may be ahead of the game here.
That's Yeah, he is. He's definitely ahead of the game.
Right.
We went and got Disney
Infinity.
And that
was my moment of the week. Yeah.
We went and got Disney Infinity tonight, and Jack also wanted. I told him you could pick Disney Infinity or the new Skylander game, but we're not doing both. Like that's too crazy. And so Jacob wanted Disney Infinity. Jack was kept talking about Skylanders. I said no. And he goes. He said, "Well, we'll get Skylanders too." And I said, "No, you pay for it." And he goes. He goes. I go. Do you have any money? That's what I tell him. He goes, "Yeah," but he has like $6 in his wallet.
Right.
And then he goes. He goes. Go get my wallet. I go. Let me get my wallet before I go. No, Jack, you don't have enough money. He goes. Well, then you're going to have to pay for it. And I said,
"Got you."
Yeah. He goes. I go. No. I don't have to pay for anything other than the roof over your head and clothes on your back and food to go in your mouth.
Right.
And he goes, "But you have lots of money, Dad." I said, "Oh no, I do not."
Right.
But anyway, right. I'm sorry. Your
no,
turn.
That's fine. No, it's fine. All right, mine is more less humorous and a little bit more sweet in nature.
Got it.
Maybe. Well, my uncle had recently died. No, actually, that's where this is set. Is that I am? I'm sort of in my own head. This is after hearing about my uncle, and I hadn't said anything. The boys knew he wasn't well, but and I think Luna had informed them that he had passed. So I'm going through my life trying to, you know, hit all my marks, but every once in a while I'll just come to a stop and I'll be standing in a room staring at the wall, sort of lost in thought. And it was during one of these times that Diego came up to me and out of nowhere, he just put me in a hug that was so strong and focused and yet gentle. And he just held me for such a long time, and it was like I have never been held like that as an adult man. And it would have gone on except for the boner I got. But
right, that's uncomfortable.
Yeah, that got a little weird.
Both of you, right?
Yeah, really. But
Don't spoil this.
Sorry.
That is what I do. You are the sincere, intelligent one.
I should have stayed out of that. No, it was really special. So it goes on. The story goes on a little bit longer. The story's almost as long as the hug, by the way. And so we broke apart from each other, and I went on with my day. And in the back of my head, I was thinking I wanted to go see my own father, just to sort of tell him about this and the fact that I might have to leave town. And he knew the guy. I don't think they weren't pals or anything.
Yeah.
There's a big split between these sides of the family. But he knew who he was, and he knew he would be important to me. And that's the kind of guy that that Juan is it doesn't matter how he feels about the thing. He'll take it from your point of view and give you the proper support. Uh-huh. And part of it was probably also that I was somehow maybe, you know, aware of his own mortality or whatever it was. And I was just sort of being drawn to him. And so I'm running around, and I have to go over to Trader Joe's, which is three blocks from his house. And I'm thinking, I could go in there and see him, but I'm on his schedule. And I feel like I need it, but I know if I have to walk into his house, the schedule is out the window. That's going to be 45 minutes, and I'm never going to get anything else done. So I'm like, I can't see him. I just have to go to Trader Joe's and do what I got to do. And I walked into Trader Joe's. He's the first person I saw.
Ah!
I've never seen him in a store before. I've never seen him there before. But right when I needed to see my dad, he was there.
Uh-huh.
And I gave him a long, gentle, focused hug.
Uh-huh.
And I paid that forward for him. And I let him know.
So he also got a boner or what?
Yeah, he did. I told him that Dick had passed away. And after he stopped laughing, it was fine. He was very sweet and very gentle. But to have such a short amount of time between getting that hug and being able to give it as a son to a father, I knew how much it had meant to me. And anyway, so that was the bookend of that moment. Was
that's cool.
Two hugs. And that's all.
That's it.
That's it.
Hashtag nailed it. All right. You can send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. Don't forget to like us at facebook.com/dadpodcast. Follow the show on Twitter @dadpodcast. Follow me on Twitter, bitches, @JustinWorsham. Follow Paco on Twitter, assholes, @TheRealPacoL. You can listen to the show live. We usually record Tuesday nights at about 7 p.m. Pacific at mixlr.com/dadpodcast. They have a free mobile app, so you could listen while you're on your phone if you're near a Wi-Fi or want to pay for the data connection. That's up to you. But if you go to that website and you can choose to follow us, you will get alerts when we schedule broadcasts or go live. If you want to play with us, we got to set a date for the next episode so that we can do it like an online gaming day with the listeners. But you could be my friend. A couple of people just added me today on the PSN network. Justin Comedy is my gamer tag. Call of Duty with dashes in between. The spelling on those is in the description for this episode. Don't forget to go to thedadpodcast.com for just $24 a year. You could literally change my life and make me not worried about making money doing stand-up comedy and leaving my family. By the way, I was going to save this for a moment of the week, but I think this would be a touching moment right here. Why? Yes. I want to make money doing this show.
Yeah.
My son evidently slept with my pillow while I was gone. And so when I was coming home, his mom said, well, you're going to have to give dad back his pillow. He goes, it's okay, I'll have the real thing, which was very sweet. That, of course, is my oldest boy. He is the real one with a heart. The other one could care less that I'm gone, I think. But anyway,
how did that not make moment of the week?
So many of them. It's Jesus hard. I kind of stockpile
therapy.
I'm very connected with my kids. You should try it. And if you don't want to do PayPal, you could do it through the Patreon logo. That's
another way you
could do it. Remember, $24 a year could change our lives. And I'm not just talking about me. I know that a lot of you think I'm an asshole, but it also, Paco's got a check coming his way very soon.
That would be awesome.
And here's the other thing. Once we hit 100, we are at 70 paid subscribers now.
I'm so excited.
Once we hit 100, then we will do more episodes. And I want to just do one a month. That's what I think I originally said we'd do. But I might double down to two a week. I don't know. You don't know what I can do. And then Amazon as well. Paco's going to talk to us about Amazon.
Bonjour, mon ami.
Yes, Mr. Justin.
Je suis Jean-Paul Luffy. I am here today to tell you about Amazon. It is a beautiful thing. You can go to the bottom of the webpage.
The bottom or the bathroom?
The bottom.
The bottom,
the
very
I see. Okay. Portion. Of LoDadPodcast.com, and there is a banner, and you click on this banner. When you go through, you bookmark it on the far end. And every time you want to return to Amazon, you merely need to click that beautiful link, and it will take you there again, you son of a gun.
What do you mean? It's going great. I forgot you're supposed to do an accent. Keep going, Pierre.
It was Jean-Paul.
Oh, sorry.
It was Jean-Paul. Anyway, I appreciate you listening to me, but more than that, I appreciate you going to the Amazon and clicking through and bookmarking with the Dad Podcast. And that way we will get franks. We'll get a few francs here and there, and it will help fill up our coffers. And thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for clicking through the Amazon banner. I will try to do this again some other time.
And don't forget for Christmas shopping too. We're like the Tiki Lounge birds now at Disneyland. If you don't have enough of me talking, you can check out the other podcast. Justin is Married, Booker is Single, also available on Stitcher and iTunes. On behalf of my dear friend Paco Lanzini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley, this is Justin Worship saying, stay